Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
From deep within the large intestine of the Second Amendment wasteland that is the state of New Jersey, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Yes. Well,
it's a happy week.
No, it's not.
Oh.
Scott Bach and I survived the Trenton massacre on Wednesday. I want to talk about that. So I had Scott come in to give us updates across the board of what's going on in the Socialist Republic of New Jersey. Scott, say hello.
Greetings. Great to be back.
Yeah, yeah. And I've had this journalist tailing me for a couple of days now, so I invited her to be on the show. So would you like to, without further ado, would you like to introduce yourself?
Is that her way of punishing her?
Yeah.
Just in case. My name is Allie Garfinkel. I currently work on the wealth team at Forbes, and I'm doing a freelance profile of Anthony right now. Wow.
OMG. Peter Applebaum did that from the New York Times once. I don't think he ever recovered from
it. No, I don't think he ever did.
It was about 8 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I did get him to shoot a gun, though. He was your quintessential journalist. He had a tweed jacket on with patches and stuff. Only thing missing was a pipe. He looked like a college professor. He did not have enough strength to squeeze the trigger of a revolver. He had to use both index fingers. Honest, it was hysterical. He had to put both fingers in the trigger guard and squeeze the trigger.
So I can't promise that I will have the strength to not use both fingers, but I am not like someone who looks like I need a pipe. So I have that going for me.
Yes.
Will you be shooting a gun? This is true.
Will you be shooting a gun?
I hope so.
It's research for the story.
That's right.
I'd be disappointed if I didn't.
That's right. You can go back and there's 250 guns for rent. Pick out anything you want. You can even shoot a bazooka here once, but only once.
Once, yeah.
Yeah, then.
Then you can walk through the big hole in the back of the room.
So I want to tell you about psychological warfare real quick. This is not my first rodeo going to Trenton. It's like my fourth or fifth, but Scott does this for a living. God bless him. The committee says it's going to start at 11 o'clock in the morning. So you get up 5 o'clock in the morning, you drive down to Trenton, you park, you walk 5 blocks from a parking garage, you go through a metal detector, you get an analectomy and everything from the state police. They give you your stuff back, go up to the fourth floor, sign in, and so you're seated at like 9:30 because you want to get a seat. So our elusive and glitterati of our legislators, they come out about 11:30. It's supposed to start 11. They start filing in around 11:30. Where we are, it's called the well. You sit in the well. They sit like 2 feet
elevated
above you because it's psychological,
must. Yes,
right?
They must.
You sit below. The unwashed masses are down in the
you
well.
The important people.
So 11:30, 11:40, we start to get a call to order, and all the camera crews are there. And the first groups of panels they bring up is, of course, other legislators who are pitching the bills.
Well, the sponsors. They start with the sponsors.
They start with the sponsors. Then they bring in, six at a time, all the anti-gun moms demand this one, that one, and everything. They do a couple of groups like that. Then around 2 o'clock, they start mixing up one panel pro, one panel anti. And by that time, all the press is packed up and gone. Except, right, they're all gone. So now I get called up to testify. It's 4 o'clock. The last time I've eaten was 6 o'clock in the morning. They don't even have water. Now, all of our legislators...
And if they did have water, they don't let you use the
bathroom.
There's water, but I wouldn't drink it.
The legislators slip out during the testimonies, during the hearings, to eat one at a time.
Are you serious?
Oh, 100%. So that's how, and they're supposed to be public servants.
Yeah. They're serving themselves.
Yes, serving themselves. Right. We get treated
by the public.
Honest to God, it is demoralizing. Every kid should go and sit for a full day for something they're passionate about and see how our political system works. Because if I had my way, I'd get one of those Bigfoot monster trucks and drive it right through the building. That's how I felt by 4:30 in the afternoon.
It can spark that type of emotion.
The only thing you left out, Anthony, is that when the pro-gun people are talking, they talk among themselves and don't pay any attention to us. They basically ignore us while we're speaking.
Correct. Yeah, talking on their phones or whatever. Yeah. They don't care. They don't pay any mind to our testimony.
It's an active sign of disrespect.
Correct. And then what happens is I said something and it garnered applause and everybody gets chastised. And then when an anti comes up and they start applauding, but the legislators don't say anything. they're allowed to have rousing applause. We're not. It's amazing how we're treated. It's so unobjective. It's so blatantly biased that I don't know what other way to describe it. Right, Scott?
Absolutely. I mean, no, it's a one-sided show. I mean, listen, as we know from the 2013 attacks, when that committee chairman, Charles Maynor, said, let's vote on the bills first, then we'll take testimony.
Yep.
That's fact.
He's from Jersey City,
listen,
by the way, Allie.
Civics 101 does not always exist in the State House.
So how many people were there?
Hundreds. Several hundred.
Yeah, had to get it. They put it in the largest
Unless
room, and then they had an overflow
the press,
room.
And there were mostly anti-gun protesters, and then there were six people from the pro-guns.
Yeah, in the room with all the press, they let in all the other side. And a lot of us were in the other room. So if you look just in the main room, it looked like it was, 50% anti-gun and 50% pro-gun.
Yeah.
When it was more likely probably 150 pro-gun and about 40 to 50 anti, I would say.
And the same thing happened when there was a protest in Trenton. Remember with the sideways rain in the midst
of another
storm, right?
They took a picture early. The press took pictures when we were starting to assemble, and they didn't take pictures at like 10 in the morning when it was completely packed the arena. What is that called? That courtyard there?
Yeah, there had
and
to
they
be.
Published, they said we had a few hundred people. There was about 1,200 or 1,300.
Yeah, it's outside the annex, the State House annex.
Now we're doing that again. Let's talk about that right now. Monday, March 26th. Everybody should be saving the date. Okay, Scott, you want to elaborate on that
sure.
a little bit?
Sure.
We always have to do it in the midst of snow.
We're doing it.
Well, it won't be in February.
That's true. Yeah,
March 26th, it could 26, be it could be sunny.
Could
it
be
could
very
be,
nice.
Could be a beautiful day.
Except it's Trenton.
Well, okay, so we announced this week, we meaning ANJRPC, that the State Rifle and Pistol Association and NRA are jointly sponsoring a gun owner rally for Monday, March 26th. And we picked that date for a specific reason. And that reason is that is the likely date that all these gun control bills will be voted on in both houses of the legislature. So anybody coming should plan on spending the whole day. We're going to have a morning rally at the Trenton War Memorial, a block from the State House. And then we're going to march into the State House and pack the gallery of both houses of the legislature as they're voting on gun bills.
You think they'll keep us out like they did the last time?
Try, but there's going to be a lot of us.
But the last time they did that, I made a makeshift podium, and I stood outside in the annex with all the people that couldn't fit. I'll do the same thing this year if I have to.
Well, that was for a committee hearing that, I don't know, thousands showed up for, and they only had room for a few hundred. But, this is the gallery. It's the legislature is open. When they're in full session, having a voting session, any member of the public can come in. So, look, normally rallies don't change legislators' minds.
Correct.
But our guys are under such attack right now. I mean, we as gun owners are under attack. We are being blamed for tragedies and the acts of madmen, and we need to come out in force, and we need to show people we're paying attention. We need to show people we're not going away. We are people who stand for freedom and the right to protect ourselves. I mean, Lord knows, government can't. Okay, the lessons of all these incidents are that evil is real, government can't protect you, and if you can't protect yourself, you're being set up for slaughter. We're the good guys with guns. We're not going away, and by the way, they need to stop targeting us with their laws. That's all these laws do, is target us.
Yep.
They don't impact criminal behavior or the behavior of madmen one bit.
When we come back, Scott's going to get even more passionate about the issue.
I can tell he started to, the red is creeping up the back of his neck.
Do you want the angry cat or the Napoleon to make you feel
I
better?
Don't need either one.
You want Mr. Hanky to Christmas?
Okay, all right.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
We're going to go along. And this segment is brought to you by Gunsitters, gunsitters.com, located on Route 10 East in Whippany in the Pine Plaza. Check out gunsitters.com and their military division, West Weapons Guard. If you're in the military, you're being deployed or transferred, Weapons Guard will hold your firearms for free during your tour or deployment so that you do not have to pay for storage or leave them with another family member and have you both become felons. So check out gunsitters.com and Weapons Guard. Scott, so 6 of the 7 bills passed. You want to just give a synopsis of the bills so people can understand what's going on with us right now?
Sure, I want to do that.
The whole show, you're here the whole show, because she's not talking much over here, Allie, so you might as well just go with it.
Well, okay, I'm going to do that, but then I have some important updates for people post-hearing. So for whatever reason that we don't know, the smart gun bill was held. There was no testimony on it. That's been put to the side. I'm sure it's not because Senator Weinberg has decided to pull the bill.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure there's something that she figured out she left out and she wants to put in. Okay, so there's A2761, the magazine ban that criminals will ignore and will only restrict the law abiding. It's also a gun ban.
You're so pessimistic.
I'm just realistic.
You know, criminals sometimes.
Okay.
So they're going to open the paper and go, oh. Allie, don't take those 15-round magazines when we go rob this bank.
What the hell are we going to do
now? What do you want to be, a felon?
Wow. Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, so we have that. We have the ammo ban, which listen, it's been around for a couple of legislative sessions. They actually have changed it significantly, and now it bans one particular type of round.
That, for the FN-57, right?
It's a military...
Wait, whoa. FN-57 it bans?
FN-57.
No, it doesn't ban the gun.
No.
It bans one type of ammunition
for
that gun.
Go ahead.
What's an FN-57?
It's a fire. It's a handgun
it's
that
a handgun.
Has been demonized by the liberal media.
Okay,
it's
why?
Because it looks scary.
Because a psychopathic Islamic radical went in to, who was a psychiatrist in the Air Force, went in and shot up Fort Hood with it.
Oh,
that's why.
This
so
is
it's
that
the
guy.
Gun's fault.
It's the gun's fault.
That this psychopathic Islamic extremist who was in the military shot up the military hospital. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You so have no feelings about this.
Not at all.
Not at all.
No, I'm pretty much an agnostic when it comes to this.
Yeah. Continue, Scott.
So, look, the bottom line is this: the way this legislation works right now, it bans a military. Armor-piercing version of ammunition.
The green tip.
It's more than green tip. There's a technical definition. It's got two different types of hardcore.
But civilians, regular could be okay?
Excuse me?
The regular FN-57 could
yes, be okay? Yes, it only bans one particular type of round that's not available to the public.
In the drive-by shootings.
Listen, I don't even know anybody who owns this particular firearm. I know, Anthony, you have one here, but
yes,
it's a handgun like any other handgun. Okay,
I don't know anybody who has one
it's
either.
It's no more lethal than any other firearm. I mean, all firearms have lethal potentiality. The idea is to keep people who shouldn't have them from having them, not regulating the law-abiding that have them. So, listen, it's already federally banned. It's already against federal law to manufacture or import armor-piercing ammunition. New Jersey wants to ban it again, so like it does so many
like
things.
Like we did with the bump stocks.
Like with the bump stocks. Yeah. Bump stocks in New Jersey for a long time have been prohibited by New Jersey's pre-existing laws, but now that it's an issue, New Jersey decided, let's ban it again. Okay.
Why?
Double secret.
To make headlines.
Dumb.
To make no, they're not dumb. Oh. They want to make headlines. They want to look like they're doing something. And the bottom line is, you know, the actually making a difference and stopping gun crime doesn't seem to matter. What seems to matter is blaming us, blaming law-abiding gun owners for the acts of criminals and madmen.
And the bottom line always is follow the money. The money. It's all about campaign contributions.
I like the way you think, Sandy.
It's always about follow the money. If when they say it's not the money, it's the money, you know. So if you can't garner support from your supporters financially if you don't titillate them. Everybody's got to have a boogeyman. And for that extreme left, the NRA becomes the boogeyman. For the NRA, the extreme
left
becomes
the boogeyman.
Yeah. And without them, they can't fundraise either side. So it's this weird codependency that exists.
Boy, and that's some deep thinking, Sandy.
And who gets caught in the middle is the average public, because nobody gets any safer. If it was about saving children, wouldn't we be focusing in on the fact that the flu kills more children in a single day than happens in all of these school shootings every day during this flu season, which is still not going to be over for another 4 or 5 weeks? It will kill more children per day because the federal government doesn't do its job very well, because people, for whatever twisted reason, don't inoculate their children, and because children will die. Would we do anything about that? No. There are more children killed in swimming pool accidents every single year than through any type of gun violence that I'm using.
Don't forget drunk drivers.
Drunk drivers.
Okay, because we need to ban car manufacturers, your particular brands and models of cars, the ones that go faster
faster cars, or that are a certain color, which is exactly what we're dealing with the AR-15 assault weapons ban, a made-up term. There is no such thing as an assault weapon. It was a term made up by the Clinton administration again.
Well, to confuse people between machine guns and semi-autos.
Right. Okay. Exactly. And it works. It works because emotion sells. And if we can segment and anger people, a typical Saul Alinsky tactic, just separate people, anger each person, and have them fight against each other, pay no attention to what's going on in the middle. Which is exactly what politicians just love to do.
And nothing changes.
Nothing will ever change.
Nothing changes. No. What's the next bill?
Well, there's the bill that kills right to carry, or tries to kill right to carry. As we all know, in New Jersey, by the time you qualify for a handgun permit or a carry permit, you're already dead. The law currently requires that you have actual threats against you, evidence of actual threats or actual attacks. In order to qualify theoretically for a carry permit.
Just to apply.
So if you haven't been attacked or actually verifiably been threatened, you can't even qualify. So by the time you qualify, you're dead. And Governor Christie, as we all know, made a slight incremental improvement through executive action on that, which we worked very hard to get, by the way, which is now being trashed. And this bill basically would take that definition, which was not created by the legislature. It was created by the courts and by administrative regulations in error. They are now trying to put it into statute and cement it into place for all time. However, what they've failed to realize is that sooner or later, this issue is going to be resolved for the entire country by the U.S. Supreme Court, and ANJRPC's current carry case may be the vehicle to do it.
Correctamundo.
I remain a skeptic.
for many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra wide ports so two people can stand side by side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well lit. We also have three times as much light down range that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house, with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids, and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids, and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We use marble and Corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
With the news, events, and political shenanigans impacting your freedom, you're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
This segment is brought to you by County Line Firearms. County Line Firearms NJ, Route 10 East in East Hanover, across the street from the Best Buy. Stop in and check out Carlos and Company at County Line Firearms NJ. All right, Scott. So now, instead of 1,200 people having carry permits in New Jersey, we'll go back down to about 900 out of 9 million, because they're going to change the code. What's next?
Let me just say, I mean, as you heard me say to the committee on Wednesday, think about the policy implications of this bill. They are actually saying that people facing serious threats should not be allowed to protect themselves outside the home with a firearm. That's exactly the position that they're standing for, and that is absurd and ludicrous, especially since the government can't protect you.
But again, Scott, this is for the public good. This is for public safety.
Yes.
I mean, look at the bodies. Now, Allie is from Florida, where anyone can just carry a gun willy-nilly, and that's why you can't even drive into the state for the bodies stacked up.
Right. You can, right.
But just described my childhood, really.
Yes. I mean, how did you even grow up? Stepping over the dead bodies from
the Wild West,
the wild,
right?
Shooting that was just, you know. It's...
Wait, so can I ask a question?
Yes.
And I apologize, I'm a neophyte. But how does someone get their carry permit taken away? Because it sounds like that's what will happen.
I don't understand the question.
No, so like, she's saying that. Anthony, did you say from 1,200 to 900 people?
Yeah. Oh,
when they go to renew.
That number go down?
When they go to renew every 2 years,
okay, that's
they'll
how
say,
that
oh,
happens.
You don't have justifiable means. In New Jersey, Evan Knappen says we issue carry permits posthumously.
Okay.
After you're dead, they bring it to the funeral parlor, they put it in your casket or your urn. That's when you get your carry
permit.
The
other way to get a carry permit is to become a plaintiff in a lawsuit challenging the right to carry law.
Yeah.
Then they try to buy you off with a permit. That's happened.
So it doesn't go to the Supreme Court. They don't want it to go to the Supreme Court.
Let's not forget the third way. way, which is to perform sexual favors
to a legislator
or a judge or a large campaign contribution.
Start judging the judges. What's the next bill, Bubba?
Okay. We must have dealer background checks on private sales in New Jersey. Okay. Okay. Here's the deal in New Jersey. Okay. Unlike the rest of the country, private sales in New Jersey require a background check currently. You can't do a private sale. For example, there's long guns and handguns, right? To do a private sale of a handgun in New Jersey, you have to have a state-issued handgun purchase permit, which gets filed with the state and registered with the state. To buy a long gun, you have to have a firearms ID card, which you can't get until you've had a background check. For both, you have to fill out state and federal mandated paperwork. Okay, now, the people in Washington, D.C., in the national gun ban movement, they have their one-size-fits-all solutions. They have a talking point on background checks that may apply somewhere else, but it doesn't apply in New Jersey, but that doesn't matter. So they want to impose dealer background checks on private sales that already require dealer background checks. Isn't that brilliant? We pointed that out to the committee.
They don't care.
They don't care. They've made their headline. We now have background checks. We've done something. Who's made safer, by the way, by that? Does anybody think that criminals get background checks before they get their guns? I don't think so. The only people affected are you and me, law-abiding citizens who follow
Another roadblock and another fee. That's all it's going to be.
Let me summarize the last two bills, and these are both bills that shred due process in the name of mental health. And we all know there is a mental health issue and it needs to be addressed. But what these bills do is essentially allow almost anybody to run into court and claim that somebody else is a danger to themselves or to others, and the particular person affected is not notified. They're not part of the hearing, and a judge can consider all kinds of things, including very innocuous background issues. The original version of this bill, if you got a speeding ticket, that could be an issue that the judge considered. They issue a restraining order, and the first time the gun owner finds out is when they have a knock or a bash at their door, and somebody comes in to say, "We're taking your guns." Then after the fact, you get your due process a couple of weeks later. Now, here's the thing. Their talking point on this is, well, we know there are people who shouldn't have guns. And by the way, we agree with that.
Yes,
there are people
absolutely.
Who should not have
right.
firearms.
Right.
Now, let's assume there is someone who shouldn't have a firearm who has it. And you know about it. It's your neighbor. So now, here's your choice. You now have the option under this legislation to write up an affidavit, go to court, make your case to the court, hope that the court does something, run the risk that the court does nothing. Okay? There is this slow, cumbersome process. That's choice A. Choice B, dial 911. Call the police.
Right.
Police have expanded powers in emergencies. Okay? If there's a true emergency, if someone's about to go shoot themselves or somebody else, you dial 911. You don't run into court with a piece of paper. Okay? So that just blows this thing open wide. It is basically a scheme that is to drive a wedge between husbands and wives, families,
yes.
to create distrust among neighbors.
And used as a tool of
it's to harass gun
yes,
owners.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Nobody can credibly point to these procedures that are created and say that they help anything that is an emergency
right.
because they don't. And, you know, but it doesn't matter. We pass them. We have our headline. We've done something. Okay. In point of fact, one of these bills discourages it. It actually would allow unaccountable so-called health professionals like nurses, social workers, and marriage counselors to stimulate having your guns seized. Okay. What's the net effect of that on mental health? Well, if you're somebody who needs help, you might not go get it because you're afraid that if you do, your mental health professional is going to be a spy and is going to turn you in.
Correct.
These proposals have nothing to do with reality. They're part of a national package that's
right.
being pushed around the
exactly.
country for other purposes.
Yeah.
That package existed before these events happened.
Right.
This is their agenda, and they seize on any opportunity to move
it.
That's
old
just the truth.
It's the same old song. When you look at what's going on nationally, too, we go on a national ban of, quote, assault weapons. This happened during the Clinton administration. The Justice Department of the United States has proven that absolutely nothing came of that. Nothing. Which is why the ban was...
It's sunsetted.
Sunsetted.
Correct.
Right?
Because okay. nobody's using assault rifles to rob banks.
Correct. But this is the mindset that is still there and it's prevalent. And this is an issue of thinking. So what's the difference between this and the school issue? Oh, we have terrible schools in the United States. The reason is we need more money. Okay, we give more money. The more time goes by, nothing changes. Well, that's because we need more funding for schools.
How about we take some of that funding and put a cop in every school?
Yeah,
how about we do
part
that?
Two.
How about it? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see. Here, the issue is that we have gone very dark as a society. There's something wrong when in 1967. And those of us who were kids back then, in 1967, you could take a .22 rifle, and I did, to school to go shoot at the PAL later on.
You evil, evil man.
Right. And I put it where?
Bastard.
In my locker.
Oh, my God.
And it was very, very common. And, you know, I have a lot of friends down in the South. They had trucks with gun racks at high school. They would go hunting afterward. No one came in and shot up schools. This has just changed since Dylan Klebold.
We have a violent society.
Yes, we've gone
well,
dark.
Well, we also have psychotropic drugs that mess with people's minds.
Oh, well, that was bad. Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
They said it wouldn't last. That was just wishful thinking. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 7 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by, I don't remember, oh, Liberty Office Suites, libertyofficesuites.com. Ron
it's good
Sousa,
for the sponsor. That's
Ron Sousa has two.
I have no idea who they
you
are.
You know what? You know what? He'll get over it. Ron Sousa has two locations, one on Changebridge Road in Montville and one on New Road Parsippany. For as little as $58 a month, you can have a professional business environment. His Montville office has a meeting room that holds 70 people. Check out libertyofficesuites.com. So during the break, Ali asked us what we thought about the Parkland sheriff's officers not going in, and my response was meow.
I think that's very that's very helpful.
Thank you. I try.
Explain later.
There's something going on very dirty in Broward County. And I don't know. Could it be that was the policy of the Broward County Sheriff's Department?
Because since Columbine, the active shooter policy is now first officers on scene go in.
Right.
Okay, that's like a federal thing that they've been training.
Is it federal?
I know that the FBI started it in their training protocols, that you're to go in because you need to engage the active shooter. A lot of times they kill themselves. A lot of times they surrender, like the one in the theater, as soon as they see force on force against them. Because I still believe these kids are living in a fantasy world. I think because of movie violence, TV violence, video game violence, societal violence,
yes.
desensitization.
Yeah.
I think that they
Absolutely.
Think they're kind of like in a fantasy world. And but Ali, to answer your question, the police are supposed to go in first mm-hmm. on the scene. Now, I can understand that one cop, the resource officer, he's all alone. And you hear gunfire. You know, later on we find out it's one kid, but you don't know. There could be 30 people in there. So his response was that he was maintaining the position and he was reporting back and securing the perimeter, you know, for the north side of the building. But if it is true, in fact, that four other deputies were there and they waited to go in before a SWAT team or something, that's tragic. because four guys can form a team.
If they were told to stand down, too.
Yeah, we won't know yet, but four guys can form an entry team where they cover each other's backs and everything. Four is much different than one person by himself.
If I'm not mistaken, the Florida nightclub...
Pulse?
Incident.
17 minutes before they went in or something.
Here's what this proves. It proves that although we want law enforcement there, and law enforcement hopefully will try their best, in the gravest extreme, somebody who wants to be legally armed, who's qualified and trained for it, ought to be legally armed. And yes, even if that's a school. Allie, you may not know this. The U.S. Supreme Court has repeatedly held that the police owe no legal duty to protect individual citizens. The duty they owe is to society as a whole. This is a well-known doctrine. It's liability insulation. Yep. If the government versus DC. There's a whole line of cases, but if the police got sued every time that they didn't do something right, they'd be sued into oblivion. Mm-hmm. The net effect is that people are on their own in an emergency. That's the net effect. Because guess what? The victims and the victims' families can't sue the sheriff's office for not doing their duty. You're on your own. And so the same government that abandons its duty to protect you shouldn't block your own ability to protect yourself in an emergency. What is the possible harm in a life or death situation of having a qualified person with the ability to potentially stop the threat when the government fails them? And what is the possible harm of that?
You need more than one armed officer.
Well, that's fine, but I'm making a different point, which is if that armed officer is not available, doesn't get there in time, or is cowering outside, the teacher that's about to get shot ought to be able to defend himself and his students. That is common sense.
That coach who was an NRA instructor, a firearms owner, and was working part-time as a security, had no other option than to put himself, his body, between the shooter and the children.
Right.
Had he had a firearm, I don't know what it
would have. He would have had a fighting chance.
Yes.
Okay? He would have at least had a chance.
Exactly.
Okay? It's not a guarantee, but it's a chance. And listen, we can debate gun policy from today until forever, but the bottom line is it will ban this, talk about that. The bottom line is if we're not going to put protection at the point of vulnerability, we're going to have it happen again and again. You can pass all of these laws, and it's not going to stop the next crazy person from doing something.
And while we're having this discussion and this fight over focusing in on an inanimate object, a gun that can do nothing, it's just one piece of the puzzle. We are counting days down until the next shooting because the issue is much deeper than just a firearm. The issue is about what changes in a human being's mind that makes it okay to kill school children. What changes in a society that allows this to happen? What exists when now we're going to make the age limit 21 because the kids who are protesting right now, they're smart enough to dictate constitutional policy.
They were eating Tide Pods.
Yeah, when they weren't eating Tide Pods, right.
Which is its own kind of idiocy. But no, you said something that I'm really interested in. So you were talking about how in 1967 or whatever year it was, you could have an assault rifle or whatever. You could have something in your locker, a rifle of some kind.
Right.
So what do you think has changed?
Wow. We're getting into philosophy now.
Kids don't get their ass beat enough. That's one.
Well,
go ahead.
Okay.
People lost God. That's two.
We removed, and I'm not going to get, I'm not a hyper-religious
guy.
Praise
the Lord.
Okay, yeah. But we removed God from school and replaced it with socialism. And socialism, and a special brand of socialism, it's a Fabian socialism, which comes from Europe, which now the end result you're seeing happening in Britain and in France and whatever, when there are these shootings and everybody stands back and waits for, quote, the authorities to come. In the United States here, Jimmy Carter was the one prior to, I don't know if you know this, Ellie, but Jimmy Carter, the term first responder was Jimmy Carter's creation. Prior to that, we lived in reality where we were the first responders. So now the government, oh no, here comes Big Daddy government to take over, and I'm going to help you. I will.
But I have no legal obligation.
I have
no
legal obligation to do this.
But I'm going to help you because why?
Because government, more big government is better. Government solves
knows
all the problem. Yes, exactly. And with a progressive mindset in the institution of progressivism in the United States for the past 100 years, it has been a constant decline to the point that we're giving up. Let's just rewind backward. The founding fathers, I think it was Madison, who said that you cannot have this kind of liberty without personal responsibility and morality. If you remove personal responsibility from liberty, it comes apart at the seams. We have a free and open society where we should not be dictated as to what to do. You shouldn't. But now we're in a society where if you have a swimming pool around your backyard, you have to put a 75-foot stockade fence and another fence inside because some child in the neighborhood might climb over your fence, fall into your pool, die, and the parents will sue you, not them. We have shooters, people who make active decisions. If this kid was on YouTube trying to figure out how to build a bomb, had he done that, it would have been a bomb and not an AR-15. You have a system that doesn't work where the Broward County Sheriff's Office, 46 separate calls to this house? 46? The FBI, with their heads square up their ass, can't figure out when two people come and say, here's the guy, his own family members. This kid made a call for help and called the Broward County Sheriff's Office and said, I think I'm going to hurt someone.
And no one did
a thing. So don't tell me this is about the children. It's a societal problem. Scott is absolutely right. We need to do a short-term fix, which is not just to put a Band-Aid on the situation. You need to go in and take away that damn sign that says gun-free zone in the school. And teaching children to group together in a corner to make a bigger, better target.
It is. It's backwards.
It's ass backwards. And until I am hoping that Generation Z, who is coming up and becoming a lot, they're seeing this insanity, and they're going to try to fix it. Because we have that, we've talked about it before on the show, that 80-year pendulum swing, where you go from one extreme to the other. And we are at the zenith, we're approaching the zenith of what I call the we generation. And in the we generation, the last time this happened was in the 1920s, 1930s. And we all know what happened, what followed that was Adolf Hitler. Because the first person that stands up and says, I'll fix this, everybody at that point focuses in on them. That becomes a solution. And we're seeing that shit happen right now. When government, I'm frightened of what's going to happen in the White House, too, because you've got a guy who blows back and forth with the wind.
He is pretty flexible, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
So is his hair. And Sandy's face turned very red, guys, so
our
you know.
Our first orange president.
It takes a lot to get me riled up. I don't know what's going on today. It could be the drugs. You know, as it turns out, one out of every three of us is caring for an aging parent. And if you're one of us, I don't have to tell you how difficult that can be. And until now, good sound advice that you could really trust was few and far between. The show is called Parents Are Hard to Raise, and every week it's jam-packed with expert advice and some pretty cool tips and tricks that'll help you and your parents grow older together without losing your minds. It's free expert elder care advice with a Jersey attitude. The show is hosted by my wife, Diane Berardi, who's been a practicing gerontologist for over 3 decades. So the insight's real, and the advice you get is battle-tested and ready to go. And it's often a little edgy. Parents Are Hard to Raise. Available on iTunes, Google Play, and on demand at iHeartRadio or at parentsarehardtoraise.org.
Direct. I was on Politically Direct episode 8, I taped it. It's a it was a show last night. I called in for an hour with Professor Fernando Uribe. He text messaged me, "You're late to the call." I text messaged him back, the letters F and U. He texted me back, "Those are my initials, Fernando Uribe." I thought it was okay, we'll go with that.
You pretty much text that to everyone.
Everybody, yes. So I did politically direct, and we'll talk about I was on what episode of Parents Are Hard to Raise was I on? Do you remember?
I can't remember, but it's this week.
Look it up. This week's Parents Are Hard to Raise. So
it was actually a good episode. You were cogent.
Thanks. So a couple of things. Scott Bach running for NRA board. The window is starting to close. His website is scottbach.com. So it's Bach for NRA. The other thing I want to talk about is we have the Cheeseman-Gilliard case. They have a GoFundMe page. Just Google GoFundMe, Restore Carry NJ. Send them $10, $20, $30. Mark also testified down in Trenton on Wednesday, as well as a huge amount of Patriots. My quote that I hit all the legislators with, because all the moms were there and stuff, was, I said, blaming the NRA for gun violence makes as much sense as blaming AAA for drunk drivers.
Yeah, it's good.
So I got that off my chest and a couple other things. But, Scott, you have updates for us. One more thing. Save the date, please. 3/26 will be the rally in Trenton. It will plan on being there all day. It's a Monday. You have almost a month's notice, so there's going to be power in numbers. They're planning transportation and porta-potties and no porta-potty, Scott said. All right, so bring a Snapple bottle. Okay.
Or it depends. Where are you?
Depends. Okay. Scott's got some updates for us right now. Allie only seems to speak during the breaks, which is very annoying, I just want to say.
Sorry.
But that's okay. That's okay. We're going to let you slide this time. Hit it, Scott.
Okay, look, for the gun owners who have been sitting on the sidelines saying, we can't win this fight, why should I bother to call or write or show up at a hearing? I'm going to tell you, we just learned of this information that will be out in an ANJRPC alert. We were expecting these bills of the past to be in another assembly committee on Monday morning where they were going to be amended. And we were expecting the Senate versions of these bills to be heard on Thursday in a committee hearing. And we got word that for some unknown reason, all those events have been stopped. The committee hearing pulled, the Thursday committee hearing canceled. That's been on the schedule for months now. We don't know why yet, but we know it has to do with these bills. Now, there were actually some people on the other side of this issue who were testifying against some of the mental health bills. They may realize, they may have heard some of the testimony, even though maybe they weren't listening, but other people were. And we think that some of these bills are going to be amended, and some of our issues may be attempted to be addressed. Now, I've never seen them address one quite right. The whole thing, by the way, could be avoided by talking to us in advance, like we've done in other administrations. We give our input privately. We don't have to have the big public battle. But all to say, we've been looking at this. The reason we picked the 26th is it's the last session of both houses, full session of both houses before they have their April break. So if they don't get the bills in there, the next time this is coming up in May, and by the way, delay is good for us. But bottom line, I mean, we were contemplating doing rallies on these hearing days. Thank goodness we didn't, and we waited as long as we did. But here's the point. We made a difference. Something has changed. What that is, we don't know yet, and we're going to try to influence the process. But the bottom line is, things have been knocked off track, and we'll update people through our email alerts to let them know, you know, what it is as it unfolds. But just letting you know, the effort makes a difference. You never know what's going to happen, even when it looks bleakest. When you do the math and you know we can't win in this hearing, listen, we saw it in 2013. We saw miracles happen. When the guillotine was going to come and cut our heads off, you never know. And if you don't try, you'll never find out. So it's up to everybody to weigh in, do their part, no matter how futile it might seem.
I'd also like to add the fact that they don't believe we exist in the numbers that we exist. Voting block, the legislators.
Okay.
We have a voting block of 1 million plus firearms owners in the state of New Jersey. 1 million plus. It's a pretty big voting block. The problem is, they're more blocked than voting.
Yeah. We're in the minority.
No voting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And they know that. And they've seen it because, and it's not something they're making up or they're dreaming about. This is based on history. We don't show up. And it's because Anthony calls them the FUDs, the shotgun owners, you know.
The old like hunters me. That look like Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, or people who shoot trap and skeet.
Nobody's like taking my shotgun.
Right, exactly. And let me tell you.
Just wait.
Exactly, just wait. And I shoot with them. And I cannot tell you how many of these idiots voted for our current governor.
Because a lot of them are retired, getting their pensions.
They're retired cops,
firemen,
or whatever. And they choose free shit over freedom all the time.
That's
just the way it works.
Remember, socialism works till you run out of everybody else's money.
Right, yeah.
Margaret Thatcher said that.
And it ends like Venezuela all the time,
yes,
usually at the barrel of a gun.
My favorite Churchill quote, because Murphy's going to tax us into prosperity. Winston Churchill said, taxing yourself into prosperity is akin to standing in a bucket and lifting yourself up by the handles.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen now. We're going to get hit with massive tax increases across the entire state. They just lifted the 2% cap on pensions, on houses, and everything, on housing taxes, real estate taxes. So,
it's because we don't pay enough in tax.
New Jersey is in the worst places to live. We're 49th. From 50, so
hell would 50 be 50.
Would be
right?
Hell is 50,
yeah.
And to retire in, we're 47th best places to retire.
Didn't Ainsley Reynolds say he's got a fiduciary responsibility to tell people do not die or retire in the state of New Jersey?
Correct. Do not die or retire in New Jersey. So
now that's dark.
Yes, and
it's
more
true.
People
it's
move
true.
Out of New Jersey in, than true. Any other state.
Yeah.
Than right now, people are
it
fleeing.
It is the most
in droves.
Exited state in the union.
And
for good reason.
We have the second highest property taxes after New York. New York, because Manhattan skews it big time,
yeah,
you know, because
right.
of the expensive housing there. But so we're good. We're on like every list possible. And now, you know, I always say there's nothing more repulsive than a rich socialist, and our governor is a rich socialist. So
yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Guy
so.
Who's never really worked a day in his life.
No, Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, we got Forbes in the room, so we've got to be careful.
Sorry, our governor pays $250,000 a year property taxes.
Just in Jersey.
Just his one house.
Just his one house in Jersey, yeah. But he's a man of the people. You know.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
You know, you think he'd use some of that friggin' money to find an orthodontist?
Oh, I knew you were going to go there.
Sorry.
Oof.
Governor Denture Cream. not Krispy Kreme like Christie. Go ahead.
Right.
So... when I go back to Jersey City,
yes.
And I live in Manhattan as well, when someone asks me what you guys are most afraid of, what should I tell them?
They're going to completely...
People from Jersey City and Manhattan?
No.
I'm not sure. I'm not really
my biggest
afraid
fear,
of anything.
My biggest fear
I can still
is
move.
The socialist creep in our society.
Mm-hmm.
But as
yeah.
a gun guy, my biggest fear is complete bans of classes of firearms.
And do you think that could really
slope.
Happen?
Oh, yeah. Well, I lived in New Jersey when they passed the assault weapons ban in 94, and we had 180 days to sell it out of state, turn it in, or destroy it, basically.
Or go to jail.
Or go to jail. That was your option. So,
well,
yeah, confiscation is a viable option.
And legislators have been caught... on open mic, Google mm-hmm. it, saying we should have had a bill to confiscate. Google it, 2013, when we, after Newtown, there was an open mic after a committee
yep.
hearing, and three female senators actually said it, and we made a very big deal about it in 2013.
So,
and I personally am afraid of New Orleans during Katrina, where the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment,
guns.
The Fifth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment were all violated in one fell swoop. And if you consider the fact that the National Guard came in and took over churches and without letting the pastor know we're taking over your church. Oh, by the way, here's a note. And homes, we were quartering soldiers too. So let's add the third one in too. So the Second, Third, Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment were violated in the United States and nobody said shit because it was an emergency. So that's what I'm afraid of, because it can go that quickly, go that poorly, that quickly, and we've seen it happen. It happened right in New Orleans, and where they literally, I mean, there's YouTube videos of National Guardsmen. There is one of the most frightening, chilling YouTube video I've seen was an interview of a National Guardsman who was standing there who was saying he had just come back from Iraq, and he was saying, my biggest fear is that I'm going to have to go around the corner and I may have to do something that I don't want to do. And the person standing next to him said, what is that? Shoot an American citizen.
Yeah, well, when the UN comes in, aim for the blue helmet.
Right, and you don't have to do that. You do have to disobey at that point.
Scott, your face. What other updates do you have, Scott? Sandy's on a tear today.
Only other update is with ANJRPC's carry lawsuit.
Yes.
We are still looking for potential plaintiffs to add. If you have recently been denied a carry permit in New Jersey, please email us at lawsuit@newjerseycarry.com, lawsuit@newjerseycarry.com, and we'll have folks call you and ask you questions and see if you might be the one to help join our case.
Jeez, lawsuit@newjerseycarry.com. That kind of makes sense. You couldn't find any like just random letters and shit.
Unfortunately, Anthony had the domain we wanted, and I didn't know it.
He didn't know it. He went to use a shorter domain, and he said it was taken. And after they launched, I'm like, I own that domain.
Thanks, Anthony.
Sorry, I would have given it to you
along
for
with
free.
Every other friggin' domain.
We wanted njcarry.com.
I have that.
I actually remember it off the top of my head. If that's helpful.
Nice.
See, there it is.
Okay. It worked out.
Okay.
You know, I have a lot of letters and stuff. We'll go over the next two future shows from Stephen Shorter. But here's one from Dr. Optoff, who's been on the show before. He wrote, check this quote out from an article online. Florida governor vows to keep mentally ill from getting guns. As reactions poured in Thursday, President Trump focused on the young man's mental health. And Attorney General Jeff Sessions said he wants the Justice Department to study how mental illness and gun violence intersect to better understand how law enforcement can use existing laws to intervene before school shootings happen. Dr. Optoff said, maybe for once they will address the mental health issues in this country and not the gun. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Thank you, Doc, but I don't have much hope for that. They're going to go right back to focusing on the gun. And Allison, I've been quoted. Alexandra, I'm sorry. Allie, I've been quoted on this a million times, Allie, where here's what happens. Every time there's a tragedy, the pro-gun people dig in, the anti-gun people dig in, we fight back and forth, no action, all inaction, and people continue to die.
Right.
Okay? Where we have to say, okay, I'm not giving an inch, you're not giving an inch, what can we focus on? Let's get better communication, federal agencies, let's get rid of the stigma from mental health. So people are not embarrassed to say they're diabetic, but people are embarrassed to say they're on some kind of psychotropic drug. Let's lift that stigma. Let's start a national campaign let's embrace it like any other illness. And so people will come out of that dark closet and maybe get help and embrace it. And we won't frown upon people that have a mental illness. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Stephen Shorter, I got a great letter from you from across the pond. Richard Britton II, I've got a great letter for you. We'll read those all next week. We have multi-state CCW, Urban Pistol 1, 2, and 3, Urban Carbine 2 and 3, Hemorrhage Control, Build Your Own AR with Bill DeBear, with Jimmy the Gun Guy.
While you still can.
While you still can in
Is
New
that
Jersey.
Real?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. So check all of our classes out on gunforhire.com. Scott Bach, Bach for NRA. Don't forget, save the date, March 26th, the rally. Scott, anything you want to add?
No, we're good.
Okay.
Just keep the faith, keep fighting.
And join ANJRPC. It's
yes.
$40 a year, you cheap bastards, okay? ANJRPC.org. Because I think I own .com, but I'm not sure. So
we can sue you for that, Anthony.
ANJR, it's called cyber squatting. I know
That's
I would
right.
lose. ANJRPC.org, $40 a year. Sign up. Get their alerts. If you're cheap, you can sign up for the alerts, but that should make you feel guilty. Support those who support us. Sandy, it's up to you.
Well, looks like you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Come on, guys. You got to come out in force. I know it's demoralizing to stand out in the rain. We've done it a number of times. But let's show them, huh? We love you guys. See you next week.